El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
Can you guarantee America after Obama?
One application, not one document, not one shred of paper.
Are you going to go to heaven when you die?
Right now, yeah.
Thanks so much for being with us.
I hate Barack Obama.
He's a jackass.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch. Each and every night, man, when the stars come out, the bullcrap stops. And coming up this hour, we got some of your phone calls at 877-876-PHIL. What have we been dealing with tonight? We've been dealing with the ongoing panic over whether or not Obama's going to take the guns and the bullets. He ain't taking guns. He ain't taking no bullets. You want to know who's taking your bullets away from you? It's the guys that make the bullets. That's who's taking the bullets away from you. I thought I'd tell you that I just came up with that, but I didn't. I actually heard that from a caller of ours.
Yeah, you stole it from them.
I'm not stealing diddly squat, man. I ain't stealing nothing. I gave credit, okay?
Yeah, he said he heard from a lady that called. It wasn't a lady. It was a man.
What difference does it make? Okay, yeah, they said it, and it was a lady. No, it wasn't a man. It was a lady. Robert's right.
You're positive. It sounded like a man to me. What do you think a lady sound like, man?
It was a lady in Mississippi. You understand? And she said that this ammo shortage, in her opinion, is manufactured, or not manufactured, as the case may be, by the ammo company. So we had to talk about that. We had to calm everybody down about that one. I don't know whether that's true or not. I can just tell you that there ain't no ammo. Then we had to talk about more on his health care. At this particular point, you want to know what I think? I think that we should not have a public option. We should not have any health care reform at all. We should just continue with the system that we have, right? And the first old lady or old man that dies that doesn't have health insurance, I'm going to say that's euthanasia, and I'm going to start blaming all those guys that were against the health care reform, and I'm going to see if I can't get a bill passed that they should all go before the Nuremberg war crime trials and have their freaking necks strung, man. What do you think about that?
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
Because we wanted a place to hang those bastards, that's why. You want some euthanasia? There you go. Obama's going to euthanize the old people. I'll tell you who's going to euthanize the old people. The old people are going to euthanize themselves. They realize they ain't no health care reform, man. They're dead in the water. They ain't going to have nothing. You're going to get old, no insurance, no nothing. You might as well euthanize yourself. How about that? And we had to get into some other horse dung about Acorn. You know, I am so glad that that organization is finally being held up for the joke, for the farce, for the ongoing high comedy farce that it has been. Because I'm telling you, I have never in my life seen more people come out of the baseboards and the woodwork and the drainpipe to defend a bunch of people they don't even know anything about. No, they don't know anything about. The minute somebody says about Acorn, it's the Bush attack machine, it's the smear machine. By the way, in the last 30 seconds, I have stated opinions that no other talk show host in the history of the world would have stated, because on the one side, I'm attacking Acorn, which would seem like I'm a conservative, and on the other side, I ain't saying Obama's taking your guns, so I must be a liberal. What we do on this show is we free think our way to truth, man. We try to find out what's happening, and then we can make up our minds based on that, not what some jackball, some cat, some pillhead or whoever is telling you.
You're talking about...
I'm not talking about anybody, okay? I'm saying, you know what? It's talk radio, okay? Half these cats are on pills. I ain't talking about nobody in particular. I would bet you money. I don't know anything about this. I can't say for sure, but I've been in radio for 35, 36 years. And some of your favorite hosts are probably drug addicts. I'm not...
Well, man... You gotta watch what you're saying, man.
I'm just joking around. I have no idea. I'm not talking about the obvious people that you may be thinking about. I'm talking about the people you think may be squeaky clean. I bet you they're taking handfuls of painkillers, man. Painkillers? Forget about the prescription stuff, man. They got their own private lab, you know. They got the Osley of Downers or something working for them. 877-876-PHIL. All right. Gaddafi was at the United Nations today, and there were a lot of people making a big deal out of that.
Dina Darrell probably knows where they are.
Who?
Dean Adel.
Don't bring him into this. I'm joking, okay? You want me to get sued?
Yeah, man. You're all about it.
Dean Adel, bring him in. Dean's a nice guy. No, Dean is a very nice guy. He'd have nothing to do with anything like that. Thank you very much. Dean Adel freebases. That's just great, bud.
I just thought I'd write it down.
Get out of here, will you? So they were going ape about Gaddafi coming to the UN. I don't give a damn about Gaddafi. Look, if these guys run countries, they're going to go to the UN, they're going to talk. I didn't even give a damn about Ahmadinejad being at the UN. I'm just happy that people were there to call his little rat ass out. I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. Let them come. Let all of them come and speak. But Gaddafi, here's a guy that we turned. This is a guy that we were able to literally, as they say in The Sopranos and all them mob movies, we were able to flip this guy, right? Yeah, I know what he did. I know all the stuff he was involved in. I know about Pan Am, and I know about Lockerbie, and I know about the Libyan disco, German disco, and all of the rotten stuff he did. Why do you think we were doing the business we were doing with him? Why do you think we were talking turkey with this guy? We wanted to at least turn one of those terror-sponsoring regimes without having to drop about three divisions of Marines on their ass. So people start talking about Gaddafi, what a terrorist he was or is or could be or... What do you think that, why do you think we were talking to this guy and trying to get this guy to see the light? Because we know he was doing all that stuff. Now, of course, we have the British, and we called it, and about, 5 days later, they admitted to it. I said, the day they released that guy, I said, hey, releasing nobody, man, without London green-lighting this thing. And if London's green-lighting this thing, that means that Gordon Brown is, and Gordon Brown's doing it for a reason. And what's the reason? You got it, baby, oil. Gordon Brown, by the way, politically is not Tony Blair. Gordon Brown is, one would say, very soft on the idea of encountering terrorism or terrorist regimes in the Middle East and the whole idea of the military option or solution there. Gordon Brown was not an easy guy to work with when it comes to that stuff. But there's Gordon Brown doing a deal for oil. Letting a terrorist go who was supposed to be in prison for an indeterminate time. I think the guy was going to be in for the rest of his life, and they decided to invoke some kind of vague mercy rule, and they let this guy go. The British, why? Oil. See, people say no war for oil. People say that it's not worth dying for. People bring out those signs. They don't know what it means. Anybody that throws up a sign that says no war for oil, they haven't got the first idea of what it is they're talking about. They haven't even gotten out of bed on the topic, no war for oil. The energy policy of this country, and the world for that matter, when it comes to oil, is polluted, if you'll pardon the expression, with politics. It's just absolutely poisoned with politics. You can't talk about oil without someone, generally somebody that doesn't know anything they're talking about, bringing the political question into it, whether it actually is germane or not. And that is, oh, oil, huh? You mean because the big oil companies and the wars that we fight, they can't look at the issue on its own merit. Oil. What is oil? Oil's a thing that we use, and we refine it, and we turn it into gasoline and other stuff, and we use it. Now, this is what we do. Yeah, but the big oil company... Wait a minute, man. You can talk all you want about the big oil companies, and you can talk all kinds of smack until the cows come home, man. The fact is, we use this stuff. Am I wrong or am I right? Do we use oil?
Yeah.
Do we use a lot of it?
Yeah, man. Got to make gasoline out of it.
Right. Do everybody you see, whether they are Code Pink or the American Nazi Party and everybody in between, do they drive cars? Yes. Do they use gasoline? Yes. Is gasoline made from oil? Yes. But you can't even say that because then they'll tell you, well, I drive a hybrid. Okay, so you're only half of an a-hole. Is that what you're telling me? You're just one butt cheek as opposed to the whole ass? I'm making an effort. You're making an effort toward what? What do we want to give you, a brownie point because you're driving a hybrid? And all that other extreme vitriol that you spit about big corporations and blood for oil and imperialistic wars, all that other, that really extreme and over-the-top rhetoric, your little hybrid makes up for all of that. Is that it? I got news for you. No, it doesn't. We're all swimming in the same water, my brother, when it comes to this stuff. Well, we're trying as hard as we can, Phil, to get off of oil. No, we're not. No, we're not trying as hard as we can at all. No, we're not. We're not trying as hard as we can. One of the ways you get off of oil is, number one, to get off of the oil that we're pulling from the Middle East, because that has been the most expensive oil that has ever been bought in the history of any planet in the universe. There may be a planet right now where they're using oil, but nobody has ever paid the price for oil that we have. No one, ever. We have paid it blood, money, blood, you name it, our firstborn. We have paid a steep price just getting oil from the Middle East. Some people will qualify and they'll say, you know that a lot of oil comes from Canada. We don't even get the majority of our oil from the Middle East. Whoa. Hold the phone here for just a minute there, Clementine. You know, I know that we don't get the majority of our oil from the Middle East, but I got a big news flash for you. We have spent more money for that oil from the Middle East than any other oil we've ever gotten from anybody else. Well, we never should have done that. Yeah, you're right. We never should have done it. There's a lot of things we never should have done. We made all kinds of mistakes. Maybe we never should have founded this country in the first place. Maybe we ought to give it back to the Indians and we all move our white asses back to Europe. I vote for that. But you know what? Here we are. So what do you want to do? Well, the first step, in my opinion, because it's very obvious, and I guess now this makes me a conservative, is right out here we have the opportunity to drill in our, you know, in our Pacific shelf, the opportunity to drill in Alaska, the opportunity to drill in the prairie states, the opportunity to drill perhaps in some of the Rocky Mountain states. We have the opportunity to get oil from our own land. Now, people don't want to do that, so-called environmentalists, because environmentalists that don't want to drill for oil are not wanting to drill for oil in America because of anything sensible. They don't want to drill for oil in America because they think it's going to screw up some muskrat someplace or piss off Robert Redford or make the view suck from their backyard. I don't know what their problem is. They can't tell you. They say this. They say that it won't bring the price of gasoline down and it'll never really power America. I heard all of those arguments. I'm just saying there's one thing that we could do that would be a major statement to the oil-producing countries of the world, OPEC in particular, that America's out of the oil business when it comes to the Middle East, and that's begin to drill for oil in the United States. That sends a shockwave through the world oil market, and it starts to make those shakes in their bedsheets nervous. And that can have an effect on price. But it may never be, but what it will do is begin to alleviate some of the stress in terms of the cost of energy on our economy, get us used to depending upon ourselves for energy, and who knows, maybe we can tax the hell out of it and we can start building all those green cars and those windmills and all that other stuff that people want, and that will eventually be the main source of energy and when the oil runs out. And I never did talk about Gaddafi, so I will when we come back. I'm sorry. 877-876-PHIL.
What is he going to talk about that you didn't already say?
Give me that. He's talking about something else, man. He's talking about Obama. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. You know, Steve King is that representative that said they'd be dancing in the streets in the Middle East when Obama got elected president. Well, Gaddafi was in town. He's from the Middle East. He wasn't exactly dancing in the streets. He likes Obama, but that's about the extent of it. I mean, probably likes the guy personally. And last time I checked, after that Green Revolution hit the streets in Tehran, you know, in Iran, I didn't hear anybody necessarily dancing in the streets, none of the mullahs anyway that Obama got elected. Maybe some of those kids that were out there, those pro-democracy kids. Ain't no fanatic Muslims were, though. Maybe that's what he was talking about. Here is Gaddafi at the UN. President Obama at the United Nations won praise from an unlikely and probably unwelcome source Wednesday, Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, who was making his first appearance before the world body. It was Gaddafi speaking after Obama. He mostly had harsh words for the United Nations as he theatrically tossed aside a copy of the UN Charter and referred to the Security Council as a terror council because of its veto power. Well, then you know the Security Council's doing something right, huh? I know the guy's a friend of ours, sort of. Anyway, but when it came to America's 44th president, Gaddafi offered only warm words, calling him our son and our Obama, and saying the election of Obama is the beginning of change. And then he said...
Lesbian.
All right, let's listen to what he said, actually. Here is Gaddafi praising the Kenyan, he called him, the Kenyan president, Barack Obama.
We, as a matter of fact, that we Africans are happy... proud that one son of Africans governs the United States of America.
I can't understand you.
This is a historic event. One day that the black doesn't go where the white go and cannot be in a bus where the white use. Now the American people, the black African Kenyan young voted for him and made him a president. This is a great thing, and we are proud of that. You are the beginning of a change. He did go for a change, but as far as I'm concerned, Obama is a glimpse in the dark for the 4 years or the next 8 years, and I'm afraid that we may go back to square one.
Obama's a glimpse in the dark. You know, you better get some guys over there that can interpret something that this guy, I don't know what he's speaking, Arabic or whatever it is. They were already falling asleep when this jackass got up there, and now you got a guy that's for the people to you know. And I mean, all that guy needs is a glass of water and some lunch. Get me out of here, will you? I can't. What happened to your accent? I'm just putting that on. I can't interpret anything he's saying. Go ahead, get back to it. And our people, can I lose the accent? No, we like it. All right, our people are trying to. And finally,
you are going to hell.
Gaddafi wouldn't mind Obama being the permanent president of the United States because that's how they do things down there.
Who will? Can you guarantee America?
Come
after
on,
Obama?
Come on. Let's go.
After Obama, how America will be governed? No one can guarantee America. We are content and happy if Obama can stay forever as a president of the United States of America.
That's crap.
All right, then finally, yeah, see, we don't have dictators for life, your roly-poly highness. All right, and then Gaddafi compares the Taliban to the Vatican and wonders... Gaddafi compares the Taliban to the Vatican and wonders why there are forces, American troops, in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Why are we against Taliban? Why are we against Afghanistan? Who's Taliban? If Taliban wants to make a religious state, okay, like the Vatican... Vatican does constitute a danger against us? No. It's a religious country, very peaceful. And if Taliban wants to make an Islamic Emirate, who said that Taliban is an enemy?
Right,
those terrorists who hit New York, the city that were named, are they a Taliban? Are they from Afghan? They're neither Afghan nor Taliban. Then why Iraq? Why Afghanistan?
And then,
you have been tweeting me.
What he's saying is the argument that Americans have used for a long time, many Americans, which is it wasn't the Iraqis that attacked us. Why did we attack Iraq? And if you get right down to it, it wasn't the Taliban that attacked us. Why did we attack Afghanistan? We should have just attacked Al-Qaeda. Problem is they're in Pakistan and in Afghanistan and, frankly, in Germany and everywhere else. Here is Gaddafi explaining why he wants... medicine to be given out for free.
Medicine should not be sold, should not be a commercial business. You should make a declaration that medicine should be free of a charge, that vaccination should be given free to children, so that capitalist countries or capitalist companies make the viruses and make the vaccinations, and they want to make a profit.
And, yeah.
Why don't we make it free of a charge? Why don't we give it to free?
Well,
I am a clown.
Thank you very much to Muammar Gaddafi. You're a great guy. I mean, you're solid, baby. You were in your tent, and I hope you had a good stay. And get out of here, will you, for God's sake? He's not even Ahmadinejad. He's just walking around with that funny-looking hat that he wears. Did you see that one picture?
Yeah, it looked like he had on like he was a general in the Russian army or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that big, wide, stupid hat of his. Just go back down there to the sand dunes. where they have those cats that play that flute and that snake comes out of the thing, or maybe that's a different country. 877-876 is the number here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. So Gaddafi is okay with me. I like him. He's great. We'll be right back. We have Representative Steve Kerr. What else do you want me to say about the guy, okay? Yes, he was a terrorist, but we're trying to, when a guy comes to the table and says, you know, I'd like to play poker and I got my own money, do you mind? Go ahead, sit down. All right, Steve King, same-sex marriage is a socialist concept. Next.
Phil Henry.
Huh?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
We just came across another example of a very respected news gathering organization called the New York Times, and they can't even write a simple article. They can't even, for love or money, if you put their testicles on a chopping block and said, I'm about to ginsu those off, man, unless you write an article about this new vaccine that they've developed in Thailand in conjunction with the United States Army that makes sense, they wouldn't be able to do it. They tried. We just saw an article here that was very interesting to us. And I said, well, listen, let's talk about this. AIDS vaccine shows some success in trials. Well, that's worth noting. The problem is I'm reading this article. Now, do you know what AIDS is and do you know what HIV is? Well, HIV is the virus. AIDS is the disease. You can be HIV positive and not have full-blown symptomatic AIDS. Magic Johnson is HIV positive. A great many, in fact, millions of people are HIV positive and have lived a great many years in a relative state of health and not developed the actual disease, which we know is AIDS. But the New York Times can't tell me anything about that because the New York Times doesn't know the difference between HIV and AIDS. They're saying that it's an AIDS vaccine. They're talking about a group of people that were given this vaccine and something like 50% of them became infected as opposed to people who were given a placebo, which is a fake medicine, and 74% of them became infected. So then I asked, well, wait a minute, are these people going out and having unprotected sex? And then we're led to believe, well, no, they already had HIV. This is a vaccine to prevent you from getting AIDS. But that ain't what the story says. Here, bud.
Yeah.
You were mentioning toilet paper.
Okay.
Go ahead. Have fun. Here's a guy that doesn't make any sense, but we can interpret him a little bit. His name is Representative Steve King. He's a nice guy. He's an example of the least visionary among us. I don't mean the least visionary in Congress. I mean the least visionary among us. Steve King was saying that if Obama got elected, they'd be dancing in the streets of the Middle East. And I'll keep on repeating that and keep on reminding people of it and keep on reminding Steve King of it until the day I die, because nobody can be so arrogant as to make such a colossally ignorant statement. And I pointed it out to him at the time when we had him on the show. And not be held accountable, not be told, hey, Steve, you're the guy that said, don't you feel like a horse's ass? Come on, man. Fess up. No, I'm fine. In April, the Iowa Supreme Court unanimously struck down a state law defining marriage as solely between a man and a woman. Representative Steve King was not a fan of that decision, made it known again today on WorldNet Daily's radio show, their daily radio show. WorldNet Daily, as you know, is another fake news site. WorldNet Daily is like Daily Kos, only the opposite political point of view. Representative King usually argues that the decision was unconstitutional, and today's interview was no exception. But he also went one step further, calling same-sex marriage a purely socialist concept. Now, Steve King is not a guy that lets any cliche go by without grabbing a hold of that thing and using it the best way he knows how, which is generally not very well, but he loves a great cliche. In fact, he's an originator of a few. There isn't an original thing about this guy, including the cliches he originates. Now, according to Think Progress, a progressive blog, earlier this week, the Des Moines Register released a poll showing that Iowans are almost evenly divided about whether they would vote for or against a constitutional amendment to end marriage for same sex. It also found that the overwhelming majority of Iowans, 92%, say gay marriage has brought no real change to their lives. Now, that is a progressive blog, so we can take it with the grain of salt that we take everything WorldNet Daily writes with a grain of salt. One thing we do know, though, is Steve King's against gay marriage. But I'm not here to tell you about that. I'm here just to talk about Steve King. He can be against gay marriage. He can be for gay marriage. He's not a bright guy. He reasons that same-sex marriage is a purely socialist concept. Here he is weighing in, as only he can, that the slippery slope argument, if gay marriage is legal, then any coupling would also be legal. Socialism will soon be promoted. Steve King, the social scientist.
There's no ban that can actually be constitutional that would ban group marriage. And it wouldn't have to be for reasons of, let me say, love or lust. It could be reasons of profitability, avoiding taxes, or accessing benefits. If there's a push for a socialist society, a society where the foundations of individual rights and liberties are undermined and everybody is thrown together living collectively off of one pot of resources earned by everyone. This is one of the goals they have to go to is same-sex marriage, because it has to plow through marriage in order to get to their goal. They want public affirmation. They want access to public funds and resources. Eventually, all those resources will be pooled, because that's the direction we're going. And not only is it a radical social idea, it is a purely socialist concept in the final analysis.
Steve King's not qualified to talk about socialism. He hasn't got, I don't think that man is qualified to talk about Dick and Jane, man. I don't think he's qualified to talk about anything other than whatever, however it was he made his living. And please don't tell me the guy was a college professor, because I think I'll weep. He is the Louis Gutierrez of the Republican Party. Louis Gutierrez is a Democrat. And he is, and Louis Gutierrez is as disconnected from reality as Steve King is. Both of these guys are two peas in a pod. Both of these idiots, every time they open their mouth, they make their party look bad. We mentioned that Gutierrez was this Democrat who wanted to make sure that even illegals had health insurance, right? Now, anybody who proposes that is a blithering imbecile. All he's doing is he's hanging his party up with any effort they're trying to get past concerning health care reform. Here's Steve King talking about gay marriage being a socialist concept. He isn't qualified to talk about what a Republican is, let alone what socialists are. I'll tell you why. He may sit around with a whole bunch of brain surgeons, people that he calls his friends, and discuss the social science of America, but he wouldn't know it if it came up and slapped him across the face. One of the things that we take our cue from in this country, that any country takes its cue from, any culture takes a cue from what it is its people are engaged in, and the people make their wishes known eventually through the political apparatus, and sooner or later something becomes law. Now, when was the last time you saw a decades-long, million-person effort at getting group marriage passed as a constitutional reality, as a constitutional family or family unit in this country? Where have you seen Americans massing by the thousands to get group marriage recognized legally? Well, you haven't. Why is that? Because nobody wants it. Well, they could. Yeah, they could. They could want to build a rocket ship and fly to Mars tomorrow. We could do a lot of stuff. Yeah, we could. What about the polygamists? They're weirdos and freaks. Everybody knows it. We take a look at how those people live. Half the time, we don't know whether they're molesting their kids. We don't know what they're doing. They're weird asses and freaks. And the only reason why they get any news coverage is because we find them interesting, fascinating, and weird ass. And we go, wow, look at those freaks. Polygamy? The American woman wouldn't stand for it. Forget about what men want. The rank and file American female would never stand for polygamy. It isn't going to happen. There's no social upheaval on behalf of polygamists. There's no social movement alive in America reflective of a cultural shift, a major cultural movement toward group marriage. This is what idiots like King never get. They never understand this. All they do is deal in hypotheticals, and the hypothetical alone is enough to fuel the arguments of a few barroom jackasses who will stand around and say, well, next thing you know, we're going to legalize molesting animals. Now, where in God's name do you see a significant social movement, a significant political movement of people that want to molest animals? Where? Don't tell me all of the websites you visit because you get your kicks there. I'm not interested in that. I'm talking about actual political, viable organizations trying to get polygamy, group sex, molesting animals, or having sex with kids legalized in this country and recognized as a legitimate orientation or lifestyle choice, if you will. Do you see that? Of course you do not. Why is that? The American people don't want it. American people have never even considered it. It's the butt of jokes. But there's a guy like King because he's an egomaniac. This is like that guy Gutierrez in the Democratic Party. He's an egomaniac too. They want to control the debate. They want to throw their little hand grenade and get everybody jumping up and down, getting nervous. Those two guys should be muzzled. Those two guys ought to be put in the same room together.
Brings me that line in Clockers. I'm going to arrest you and make you guys sleep in the same bunk.
Right, they ought to sleep in the same bunk. Good line. All right, so why is that different from gay sex? Because we do have, in this country, millions of Americans who have petitioned relentlessly for a long time, decade after decade after decade, for legal recognition and legal equal status for homosexual people, gay men and lesbians. This is a reality. This is something that we see. This is something we have to deal with. These are people that need to be taken seriously. That's the difference. The hypothetical argument that sooner or later we're going to have group marriage is just that. It's a way for Steve King and his friends to jerk off, if you'll pardon the expression, politically, and keep us sidetracked, right? I get so tired of listening to these guys, I could throw up. Anyway, let's throw in our final little Steve King piece of sound. Here's the cat from last year. As he said, or rather last spring, as he said that the prediction would be that they'd be dancing in the streets if Obama was elected president.
When you think about the optics of a Barack...
That's a really cool word, isn't it? Optics.
When you think about the optics of a Barack Obama potentially getting elected president of the United States, and I mean, what does this look like to the rest of the world? What does it look like to the world of Islam? And I will tell you that if he is elected president, then the radical Islamists, the Al-Qaeda, the radical Islamists and their supporters,
yeah, I'm listening,
will be dancing in the streets in greater numbers than they did on September 11th. Because they will declare victory in this war on terror. They will say the United States has capitulated because we would be pulling our troops out of any conflict that has to do with Al-Qaeda anywhere.
Now, he was wrong, but do you think he admits to that? No. The guy's an ego case. That's why he's in the Congress, I guess. That's why jackasses like this get elected to Congress. I'm not saying everybody in Congress is an egomaniac, but this is a guy that is, he likes to listen to himself talk, and I'd recommend a talk show for him if it was any good, but the crap that this guy spits, I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, you know, who's going to listen to this stuff for much longer than, you know, 5, 6, 7 seconds, except for the people that voted for him? Anyway, that's the story, guys, and I know I could talk for hours on this particular topic, and nobody would understand it, because this is advanced work. The reason why gay people are being listened to is because they're a vocal segment of the society. They've been talking for a long time. They brought their credentials to the table as American citizens. They brought their credentials to the table as productive American citizens. And they are saying, why? You know who we are. Here we are. There's a hell of a lot of us. And you need to deal with us. Why are group sex people not doing the same thing? Why are animal lovers not doing the same thing? Why are child molesters not doing the same thing? Because there simply isn't enough of them to dictate any kind of political change. They don't exist in any numbers. And if they did, quite frankly, our country would come apart at the seams. It would mean that the country has lost its moral bearings, its moral compass, as the saying goes, and we would cease to exist as a nation. We'd be taken over by reprobates and perverts and, you know, the worst kind of trash. Why are we a democracy instead of a dictatorship? Because that's what we decided we wanted to be. See? All right.
Thanks.
Why, for instance, would a man say,
I am a clown?
Unless he is. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, the stories we couldn't get to right after this.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Lesbian, lesbian, your mom's a lesbian.
I am a clown.
It's time now for the stories we couldn't get to tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We start with this from Jakarta, Indonesia. An Indonesian woman has given birth to, get a load of this.
An alligator.
Not an alligator. An Indonesian woman has given birth to a 19.2-pound baby boy. 19.2 pounds.
Yeah!
This is the heaviest newborn ever recorded in the country, according to a doctor in that country on Wednesday. The heaviest newborn ever recorded in that country. Was there a fatter kid born someplace else?
We check and see how fat a kid has been.
Yeah, you check on how fat kids have been when they were born, man. Because that's a big kid. The baby, who is still unnamed and is 24.4 inches long, was born by cesarean. Why don't they call him Jumbo? I'm kidding. The baby, who is still unnamed and is 24.4 inches long, was born by cesarean section on Monday, GY, at a public hospital in North Sumatra Province, according to a gynecologist who took part in the operation. This heavy baby made the surgery really tough, especially the process of taking him out of his mom's womb. His legs were so big, said Binzar Sitadangang, who's the doctor. The boy is in healthy condition, despite having to initially be given oxygen to overcome breathing problems. He's got a very strong appetite. Every minute, it's almost nonstop feeding. This baby boy is extraordinary. The way he's crying is not like a usual baby. It's really loud. Poor kid. The boy's massive size, they say, was likely the result of his mother, Ani, age 41, having diabetes. She had to be rushed to the hospital due to complications with the pregnancy, which had reached 9 months. The baby, her fourth, was the only child not delivered by a traditional midwife. When a diabetic mother's glucose level is high during pregnancy, the baby can receive too much glucose and grow too large, according to the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Now, that's something that's kind of interesting. Indonesia's previous heaviest baby, weighing in at 6.9 kilos. I don't know what that, let's see, 8.7, 6.9. I guess that's about 14 pounds or something. That baby was born in 2007 on the outskirts of the capital of Jakarta, according to the Indonesian Museum of Records website. In Newport Beach, California, and it could only happen in Newport Beach, California, authorities are calling it a case of do-it-yourself male enhancement gone awry. They had to come up with a name. I guess that's the best one. A local man has been hospitalized after metal dumbbell rings became stuck on his penis. The unidentified man was reportedly trying to elongate his organ, but instead the ring cut off circulation, causing his organ to swell to 5 times its normal size and turn black.
Well, isn't that good?
You shut up. Isn't that good? The man was hospitalized in Newport Beach, where firefighters were brought in to remove the ring using a saw, according to a report in the Daily Pilot newspaper. I guess the headline says, man's penis saved after do-it-yourself enhancement goes bad, so I guess he's okay. What a dumbass. Hanging a dumbbell from your dumbbell? No way, brother.
Hanging a dumbbell from your dummy.
Thank you very much, but a Wind Gap, Pennsylvania woman is accused of aggravated assault. Hanging a dumbbell from your... A Wind Gap, Pennsylvania woman is accused of aggravated assault for a mule kick to the groin of an Easton policeman who was trying to arrest her early on Saturday. Christina Schindler, age 31, is also charged with simple assault, disorderly conduct, false reporting to law enforcement, and public drunkenness. According to the police affidavit, the officers... which arrived there, they saw Schindler hit another woman, apparently, when the cops got there. Her name was Heidi Kommenglein or something. She hit her in the face about 1:50 a.m., and this was near some street. Anyway, Schindler smelled strongly of alcohol and failed a portable breath test. Once in the police cruiser, Schindler escaped from her handcuffs. When Officer Matthew Rush was securing Schindler again, She did a rear mule kick to his groin and kicked him a second time in the leg. Schindler claimed police had knocked a tooth from her mouth, but though a tooth was missing, an Easton Hospital doctor found it was not a recent injury. Wow, how'd she get out of the handcuffs, man? That's the... In London, England, a British store is launching a range of underpants for left-handed men. It's an innovation, it says, will save them both time and embarrassment in front of the porcelain. The new range by UK-based Home will have a horizontal opening instead of a vertical slit across the right-hand side, breaking a tradition that has lasted for 75 years. In our view, this is a vital step toward equality for left-handed men, said Rob Foucherand of Debenham Store. Almost 10% of British men are believed to be left-handed, but men's Y-fronted underpants have traditionally had right-handed openings from the time they were invented in 1935. As a result, left-handed men have to reach much further into their pants, performing a Z-shaped maneuver through two 180-degree angles before achieving the result that right-handed men perform with ease. Yeah, but see, part of the reason is because they're a lot smaller.
Yeah, you gotta reach deeper down.
Oh, really? Okay, thanks, bud.
You're welcome.
Reach deeper down. World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Ralph Rodriguez. Join us at our website, philhenryshow.com, for live streaming video and the downloads and on demand.
Phil Henry.